Welcome back to the From Girls to Women podcast, where the voices of young Black females are elevated and celebrated. Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Marquita Cherie Dorsey, and today's conversation will be with Ms. Crystal Shields, who is sharing her coming out story and experiences with coming out to a Christian family, of which I'm a part of. This is my niece, and I'm just so proud of her bravery and her willingness to share this story, particularly for those out there that struggle with being Christian and being a member of the LGBTQ community. I hope that you gain a lot from this. So let's take a listen. Hello, Miss Crystal Shields, better known as Chris. How you doing?
Yes. What's going on? What's going on? I'm excited.
How you doing today?
I'm great.
Okay.
I'm great. It's a great Tuesday.
It's a great Tuesday. Yes. Thank you so much for your willingness to join us today. I think our listeners are going to really get a lot out of this episode, and I'm just excited for your journey, your future, and mm-hmm. I'm excited for everybody that's going to be impacted by your future.
Yes, I hope so.
All right, so let's start. You know, share with us the topic of concern that you have most for young Black women.
My topic of concern is homosexual Black women living under or in a Christian background, a Christian mm-hmm. upbringing.
Okay. So tell us why. Yeah. Why is that a concern for you?
So I grew up as in my, Christian, religious, as I call it religion, mm-hmm. In a religious background where I'm talking about we in church three times a day, mm-hmm. never missing a Sunday, wearing skirts to the knees, you know, mm-hmm. blouse buttoned up to the top, like, you know, basically like showing no skin. That's just how traditional.
Yeah.
That's how traditional I grew up. So mm-hmm. when I was in seventh grade, and I realized that I had an attraction to girls. Mm-hmm. It was very, I would say, scary. And it was real scary because mm-hmm. I have five sisters. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that they're all attracted to boys. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, you know, mm-hmm. I want to be like my sisters. So mm-hmm. that's what I should be attracted to.
Yeah.
But when I feel the same exact feeling that I was feeling like with boys, I felt that way with girls. Mm. And it was kind of like, you know, why am I feeling like this? And then I was interested in basketball too. Mm. First of all, my mama didn't even want me to play basketball because I felt like she knew that I kind of was, you know, interested, or I kind of had an identity crisis in her words. Mm-hmm. I had an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was, you know. Mm-hmm. So she tried to keep me away from any like masculine sport, any masculine activity, anything to do with like tomboys, anything. Like, she forced me to be a majorette, forced me to be a cheerleader, like throwing those things on me as if, you know, those things would probably change my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. So in the seventh grade, you know, my mom actually, she actually caught me like fooling around with a girl in my room. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And her exact words were, "Chris, girls don't like girls, girls like boys." Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And she told me to go and get the groceries downstairs. And that was the end of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So just imagine like the confusion I was thinking in my head. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I know my mama don't want me to like girls, and my sister don't, I don't see them liking girls. So now I'm forced myself to like boys, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through high school, and it was very uncomfortable because I had to become somebody that I felt like I wasn't. You know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I had to pretend like I was, you know, having boyfriends just so I wouldn't get the talk, you know, like, why you don't have a boyfriend? Why, you know, I didn't want to see all that. And I saw my sister. Right, they were all just, I'm like dating. And it was, mm-hmm. It was a lot. It was hard. And then mm-hmm. we're going to church. And then I hear my pastor talking about not being gay and you shouldn't mm-hmm. be gay and how mm-hmm. you'll go to hell and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. all these things. So I'm just scared. I'm looking like, so who am I? You know, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to do at this point? So, as you know, so I went through life kind of just being who my parents wanted me to be, who my mm-hmm. siblings wanted me to be.
And this was around high school, right? So we're talking about
high school. Yes, this was around high school. High mm-hmm. school. So And I still hadn't come out. I still hadn't, you know, like expressed, like verbally expressed that I like girls. At this mm-hmm. point, I'm just a basketball player. I'm a tomboy in my family's eyes, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't like boys because I'm focused on basketball. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, that's where the attention was. So I knew, you know, but on my dad's side, my auntie, it was two aunties that always asked me, "Are you gay? Are you gay?" Uh-huh. And I was like, no, like it was like the reaction of, you know, like, no, like, no, I'm not. Don't ask me that. Yeah. I'm not gay. Yeah. I promised I wasn't gay. And, you know, and I'm like, I thought they was asking me that because they wanted, you know, I felt like I was going to get in trouble because they don't see me with boys. Yeah. You know, they don't see me with nothing like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So they asked me that about like three times. Every time I came home, like, because I was in Washington. Mm-hmm. So every time I came home.
Home, in the South.
So I went up north for high school to, you know, to pursue basketball further. And then I came back home in the summertime to visit my family mm-hmm. in the South. And that's where, you know, those my aunties were like, "Are you gay? You know, why you ain't got no boyfriend?" And mm-hmm. I guess, you know, I don't know, dating young was just the thing in the South. Like mm-hmm. you had to like at least show some type of interest. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So yeah. And so it was so growing up like just in church, and we was always in so many church activities. I'm talking about we were like the golden kids in church in all of our church districts, you know, and it was like, who am I to say that I, you know, to not make us look like people perceived us mm-hmm. as the golden kids. Mm-hmm. So if I was to do anything outside of being golden, I felt like I was letting my sisters down. I was letting everybody else down.
What a burden to carry. What a burden right, to carry. Right, for being.
Mm-hmm. It was. Yeah. It was. I'm not even gonna lie. It was a hard burden to carry, but I swallowed it and I just, you know, I lived that life. I was Crystal, who they wanted me to be. You know, I was pretty Crystal, the basketball girl that still liked boys. It was rare that someone that was good and talented as me in basketball still liked boys. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very rare. It was like when you play basketball, they associate that with you're gay automatically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was always, "Oh, you still like boys? That's what I'm talking about." You know, before I cut my hair off, you know, they were like, "Oh, you know, I love your hair. You still look like a girl." I used to get those things not knowing that they were implying that I'm glad you don't look masculine or I'm glad you don't look like the other basketball players that, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, but in my mind, I'm like, I like girls just like they like girls. Mm-hmm. I envied them because they were able to be themselves and express who they wanted to be, you know, and was free. And I saw how their families were supportive and, you know, and it was just like they were bringing girlfriends home to families. And I was just like, I envy that. Yeah. I did so much. I was like, I wish that I could do that. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could be me.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that I could say, "Mama, this is the girl that I'm interested in." And she would have the day talk with me, you know, how the parents have those talks with your kids mm-hmm. when they start, you know, finding themselves interested in the opposite sex. So they have mm-hmm. the little date. Mm-hmm. The little dating talk. Yeah. I never got that talk because they always knew that I really wasn't interested in men, but they didn't want to just verbally say it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So this statement, right? This statement, Chris, that story is just powerful on so many levels. One, the idea that you have to carry this burden that you got to uphold this image, right, that people expect of you. And you can't be yourself, right? You said, "I wish that I could just be me," you know? Yeah. So how did you get to a place where you felt like you could be you?
Right.
When did you get to that place? Or how did you get to that place?
To be honest, I'm still getting to that place. Mm-hmm. I didn't come out until I was 25.
Okay. And how old are you now? Just for the listeners, how old are you now?
Oh, right now I'm 31.
Okay.
And I didn't come out until I was 25.
Okay.
And the reason why I haven't reached that place yet is because the lack of support when I was young, dealing with all of that. So I had to, like you said, I had to carry all of that until I was an adult. Mm-hmm. Until I create, you know, I was able to basically freely mm-hmm. use my own mind, mm-hmm. you know, and freely want to be free in me, mm-hmm. you know, be free in my own skin and love who I saw when I looked in the mirror, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and it was the lack of support. I'm not even going to lie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I felt I didn't know who I was. So growing up somebody else, growing up being being everything that everybody else wants. Mm-hmm. And then you get to this adult, you know how they say when you get older, you start getting stuck in your ways, you know. Mm-hmm. By that time, it was like, okay, I had a secret girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I couldn't bring her around, mm-hmm. you know, and I started being distant from my family. So everybody kind of started putting a lot together, like, okay, she's never around only because I have a secret girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend, you know. Uh-huh. And so it's like, okay, you know, what is Crystal doing? What are you doing? You know, what are you doing? And I'm like, what am I doing? My girlfriend, uh-huh. she's like, you know, am I ever going to meet anybody? You know, the people that gave birth to you, am I going to meet family? You know, so I'm living this secret life and living, and then I go around my family and I'm this person. So I'm this church girl. And this is when I'm like 24, 25. Mm. I'm in the church choir. I'm, you know, I'm a missionary in my church. I was, you know, getting ordained, about to get ordained. And, you know, they expect me to be this evangelist and all of this in the church. And I'm living a secret gay life.
Yeah.
So it was so stressful. I was like, I was about to lose my mind because I was living two different lives just to please them and to please myself. And it was to the point I was just like, you know what? Forget it. Mm-hmm. And I just told them, and I just came out and I just said, listen, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Oh, the backlash. And let me tell you, I'm an emotional person, so
that's okay.
If I take a pause,
please, whatever it takes. Because I realize, Chris, this story is just so, I think about you being a Black female, and we talked before that you identify as female, but as lesbian female, right?
Right.
And right. I can't help but think about the intersections that you, as a Black female in America, and that identifies as having a minority sexuality, right? So
yes,
those intersections alone have to be a lot, and to be able to grow in this space where you're a young adult and trying to just establish yourself without the support of a network that you, you know, would expect right. to get support from.
Exactly. Just imagine how that's, I don't even, honestly, it was by the grace of God that I didn't lose my mind. I was very suicidal. Mm. I was very suicidal. I can tell you this right now, because I had to grow from it. At first, it was a very sensitive subject because it was so true, because I felt like I was still in that place, but I've mm-hmm. grown from that place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was very suicidal. This was the time that I actually came out to my parents, or to my family. I gathered them all together, mm-hmm. and I sat them down and I told them, you know, my mom, she put me in hell and she told me she didn't want to see it. Don't bring it around her. She don't want to hear about it. Basically nothing, you know. My siblings, you know, they were like, you know, yeah, Chris, we already knew. We was just waiting for you to say something. But still to this day, they don't condone it. They don't want to see it. And they still try to pray the gay away. So, but around that time when, you know, just the people that, you know, my mother, you know, you gave birth to, the people, the siblings that I grew up with, you know, for them to reject me, because that was rejection to me, for them to reject me in that vulnerable state, because when a woman is coming out mm-hmm. to in the Black community, mm-hmm. I can't speak for, you know, other race and other mm-hmm. cultures, but I know in the Black community, when a Black woman comes out and says that they're gay, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's like pins and needles being stabbed in your back. As the words are coming out of your mouth, because you know mm-hmm. the backlash and the rejection that's about to come, it's like you have to put on a armor, you know, to protect, you know, who you are, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. from the heat that you're about to receive. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that's when I was very suicidal. I was very dark. So after that whole meeting with my family, I didn't talk to my family for like 6 months. Even though they said that they already knew and they still loved me, I didn't talk to them for like 6 months because I chose to be with my girl. Mm-hmm. And I found myself on the Mississippi Bridge ready to jump, and she came and found me. And I told my mom one day, I was so angry because I felt like she put me in that position. Because of her rejection, you know, it's like, how can you reject your daughter? But it happened so much.
Yeah.
It happened so much because at that point, I felt like you didn't see me as your daughter anymore. You saw me as like a threat to the family, a threat to this golden family. You found me as a threat, you know, to, because people perceived you as, she used to get awards like Mother of the Year and, you know, because you raising all these kids by yourself, you know, but I'm being in the shadows because you're not embracing me. You're embracing the person that, the mask that I'm wearing, you know, that's who you're embracing because that's all people saw. They saw the pretty smile Crystal has. They saw my upbeat energy. They saw that I still presented myself as a woman.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, Crystal being gay, maybe because she's a little tomboyish, but no. Because of how she presents herself, she still wears heels. She wears skirts. Mm-hmm. She does this. She does that. So, no, you know, it wasn't until I actually came out and verbally, you know, came out to my parents, that's when it was like the dark cloud came. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, okay, so this is real. The family was like, this is real. Mm-hmm. And even though it was to them, I hadn't even come out to the, you know, our family. It was just my immediate family. Mm-hmm. They felt like all hell about to break loose because now everybody outside this bubble is about to find out that we are not as perfect as we may seem.
Yeah. So that dark cloud, Crystal, I ache because there was a time where I worked for an organization and we provided services to young folks who had been put out of their homes and had been pretty much discarded by their families because they had come out. And I just felt bad for them all the time. Obviously, working as an administrator for this agency, our goal was to make sure that they had a safe place to be.
Right.
You know, and provide them not just with a safe resident or shelter, but to provide them with support and love and let them know, like, you are valuable and you are worthy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you know that. Right. And so to hear this dark cloud that you experienced after coming out, not even before, but this is after you felt this darkness. How did you come out of that dark cloud?
Oh, it was a lot of prayer. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, a lot of time, a lot of days, and a lot of nights on my knees crying. Because at this point, I hate myself because I feel like my family hate me. So I don't even like myself right now. You know, I'm like, why would you make me gay? This is me being angry at God. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm being angry. I'm basically, the only emotion I can really express is anger because I'm hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really just hurt. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of nights in prayer. A lot of nights really, really reading the word of God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they really look at me crazy because I'm a lesbian, but I profess the word of God, and I am just such a believer, and I'm just such an advocate for Christ. I am, because I'm telling you, God was the only person that made me feel like I gave me hope. He gave me so much hope. And even when the people around me, you know, were gone, I still felt comfort from God. Mm-hmm. So God allowed me to understand who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
When I understood who I was and how much God loved me, I was able to start then loving myself.
Yeah.
But I couldn't love myself until I knew who I was in God.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of just getting to know God through his word, through prayer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was able to, that's when I started to come out in social media, on social media. That was a big step for me because I was so ashamed of what my family, because now this is all of my family. It's not just my immediate family. Yeah. All of my family are all on, follow me on all platforms. All platforms of social media. So coming out on Facebook, oh my gosh. So, because you know, all of my family's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So after I was able to love myself, who I saw in the mirror, like, I couldn't even look at myself as beautiful as I am. When I saw myself in the mirror, I thought I was like scum of the earth. Aww. You know, that's all I thought. I was like, you know, I didn't have any hope in myself. So once I started to believe in God and believe in myself, I was able to come out and freely be able to come out and not go back and, you know, and like post pictures and put the rainbow signs, you know, and let them know that I am. And I got so many calls. You have no idea.
Yeah.
I got so many calls. Like
good calls or it's like supportive calls or
no. Calls.
Wow.
It was more like first lady from my church and she said,
and for the listeners that don't know, first lady, this is the wife of the pastor. Yes.
Oh, yes. Right? Yes.
Okay. So just for the record. Okay.
Mm-hmm. she called me and she told me, she said, you know, you're going to lose witnesses because of what you post on Facebook. And I told her, I said, if I lose anybody, then they weren't supposed to follow me. And that's all I could think about at that moment, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm losing anybody because I'm loving on myself, then they weren't supposed to follow me.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is I was on a basketball trip, and this is after I came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a basketball trip with another, she was another lesbian. Uh-huh. And she said, she didn't believe in God though. And of course she had the same kind of upbringing. She was angry with God because of the rejection.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so she kind of left God, you know, because she's like, how can God's people show hate to me? So now she's questioning God and his love for her. Uh-huh. You see how rejection,
uh-huh.
you see, it just, you know, it's like a chain of effect.
Such a good point. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I told her, I say, just fast for 3 days. She said, what's fasting? I say, you know, you refrain from anything that you love more than God. You know, I say, you refrain from that. And anytime you think about that, you just spend your time getting to know God. You know, just reading the Bible, praying. You do that for 3 days and you tell me how you feel, but you actually have to be sincere with it. And I was like, if you don't know how to read the Bible, call me. We can have, you know, we can just talk about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know, after 3 days, she told me, she came to me and she said, to me, a lesbian, she came to me and told me, she said, I tried God and I didn't die, because she thought that because if you can't eat for 3 days, you'll die. You know, mm-hmm, she said, I can't believe that I tried God, I didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned I've gotten to know him a little more. And I was like,
amazing, Chris.
It's crazy how God mm-hmm. still uses mm. the people that, you know, he still uses the people that everybody else reject. He still uses us, the people that we're supposed to be put in hell because we love the same sex. These same people that we, that are rejecting us, they are the same people that love the same God that we love. That's where the crazy part was.
Yeah.
But I said that to say, like, God loves everyone, you know?
Everyone.
It took me a minute. It took me to this place where I am now. And I'm still learning myself, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still learning myself. I'm still mm-hmm. seeking therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing all of that. I still have, you know, some insecurities, you know, about being a lesbian.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, it's just because just such as going to interviews, mm. you know, how am I supposed to dress because I'm a masculine presenting woman?
Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed to dress? Will they discriminate towards me? Not tell me, but because I dress like this.
Yep.
You know, or I have locks.
Yeah.
I have locks, you know, will they feel like that is, that's something that's like a sign of rebel,
mm-hmm.
you know, do I give off a rebel, you know, mentality or.
I really appreciate that part. That you say that, you know, God still uses people and particularly those who've been rejected. And I as a believer myself, I'm baffled often by this confusion, right, that mm-hmm. sometimes we struggle, the body of Christ struggles with, right? There are so many different ideologies around who God is and what he would and will not accept, right?
Oh,
but one thing, though, that is consistent is love. And you have echoed that throughout your story, that it was your awareness of God's love for you that helped you come to love yourself. It was mm-hmm. rejection of love that led you to this place of isolation and mm-hmm. sadness and disconnection with who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just so grateful to hear. First of all, thank you for your courage to talk about this here. No, I really appreciate that, because I don't take it for granted that it takes a lot to produce this type of, to even get this out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be looking forward to your podcast. but we're going to say that for the last part. We're not there yet. But I also want to just emphasize the value and there's so many things that you say, you know, in just terms of like what people can take away. But if you were to share, you know, to whether it's a conservative Christian family, and maybe even it's not Christianity, because there are other religions that disdain same-sex mm-hmm. relationships, right? If there were something you can share for our listeners to take away, whether it's a young person trying to come out, whether it's someone, you know, particularly a young Black woman trying to find their way and come to appreciate who they are, you know, when they look in the mirror, we want them to get to a place where they love who they see.
Right.
So what would you share? Well, let's start with the family side, right? Like if you were to communicate to families out there when they detect that somebody might not be heterosexual, right? Mm-hmm. They may not be straight, right?
Right.
What might you suggest? And this is from you, right? I'm not, you know, some people may take this, some people might not, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you had to change the type of support that you thought would have helped you, you know what I'm saying? What would that have looked mm-hmm. like? What would that have looked like? If you can think about that, like, it's hard to think in retrospect like that, I understand.
I felt like from my experience, I felt like my story would have been different if my mom would have, or my parents would have taken time out to understand me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because to understand someone is to know someone is to understand them.
Yeah.
If you don't understand them, you'll never be able to completely know them. And when you don't know someone, it's hard for you to love them. It's hard for you to show love if you don't know.
That's right.
But I don't think you have to seek for understanding. Mm. And I feel like a lot of parents with their kids, because they feel like I birthed you, then I automatically know you. But you have to understand that there's two parts in the kid. There's the father and there's the mother. So you still have to you still have to try and get to know the father part of that child. You know, just like the father has to get to know the mother side of that child. And so when I feel like the ignorance comes when you automatically feel like you know what's best for that child when you don't even understand child.
That's good. That's a good point.
You know, and I felt like it would have been different with me if my mom actually took time out. But because it was the fear, it was the fear of the unknown.
Yeah. No, that's right.
That's what triggered the actions and the reactions of all of my actions.
Yeah.
Her, you know, her rejecting me, it was the fear of her not understanding or knowing anything I have going on, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can't relate to what I have going on. So you don't know. So you won't be able to understand.
That's right. Okay.
And so I feel like that's what it is. Parents, I would suggest that parents actually listen to their child instead of projecting their fear on their child.
That's good.
That's what it normally is. It's the fear of the parent. That's what it's their fear. You know, and so therefore rejection comes.
That's right.
But for that person, for that little black girl that's out there that's struggling, because even though I kind of knew it in seventh grade, kids, they know way before then, you know, they start experiencing things way before then. Be patient with yourself, little black girl. Be patient. Be patient. You have to, because you are continuously growing and you are changing in ways you're going to forever continue to learn yourself in every level and every growth spurt that you have. You know, be patient. And that's what I was. I wasn't patient with myself. I felt like I needed to be what I needed to be at that moment. I wasn't patient with myself to grow and to, you know, to learn about myself, you know. With the lack of support, it can be very, very hard. But one thing I have now, I have supportive friends, and that's only two. I only have two supportive friends. And yeah, I don't have a circle, but those two supportive friends, they make me feel like I matter. They make me feel like there's nothing wrong with me, ever. And they support every decision that I make. You know, I'm able to go to them. So, and it's not even family. It's not even family. So to that black girl, you know, find you, it could be one person. Find you that one person, that outlet. You need an outlet. Somebody you can just talk to about your feelings. So you won't just keep it in, ball it up, you know, inside. Because then that's when you explode and ain't no telling what'll happen, you know. But yes, definitely be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. Love on yourself. You know, and do one thing that I didn't do. Stay single until you know who you are. Stay single.
Yeah, you know? Because you pointed out a few times you pointed out that you were really trying to appease people around you by dating guys, right? Because that's what they expected, or that's what they wanted, or that's what they hoped for you. But you're saying that if, you know, just don't date.
Just don't date. Don't date. Especially when you're feeling confused.
There you go.
Exactly. Because let me tell you, I hurt a lot of people. I hurt a lot of people because I didn't know who I was, you know? And that's one thing that I could probably change if I could change anything. All those hearts that I broke because I was trying to be someone that I wasn't, I would change that, you know? Because I know they could have done without it. And they still, you know, and still to this day, they still tell me, you know, how much of an impact me leaving them. You know, because I didn't know, because I wanted another. It's different when you leaving a man for another man, but when you leaving them for a woman, they can't compete with a woman. So it's like, I can't compete with that, you know? And I'm like, man, I I hate that I hurt your heart, but I just didn't know who I was.
That's right. So and don't carry single. That burden. Don't you carry that burden. You got to let that go, too. And I, you know, before we wrap up, I want to say that I realize that oftentimes we go through life and we don't take time to reflect. And you mentioned that you continue to seek therapy to kind of really deal with, you know, hopefully this dark cloud.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
This retrospective thinking that you just demonstrated, right? Thinking back and really thinking about not just those experiences, but how you have impacted other people. While I encourage you to not hold on and not obviously carry those burdens, you know, because you are special and you have a lot to give to this world, as you've also shared today. I would say that I think is a valuable point for folks to think about, right? As they get to know themselves and become more comfortable in who they really are, you know? And so I appreciate you sharing that, because that's important, obviously, for the world at large, but also for your peace, right? You're 31 now, and you're trying to resolve quite a bit, and it includes the experiences that you've had before. So I appreciate that, Chris, a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let me just ask you to share a couple of things that you would, just one word of encouragement, or a couple of words of encouragement. You've already shared some already, but if there are some, you know, other jewels that you want to share, leave us with, what is something, if you were to write a love note to a young Black girl, just in terms of, you know, her development or coming out as truly whoever she is, you know what I mean? What would you say to her?
You are not your sexuality. You are so much more than who you choose to love. And I know that a lot of people, when they see gay people, or when they see the LGBT community, you know, that's the only thing they see. And there's so much more to those people, to us. So don't let this cloud, don't let that identify who you are, because there's so much more to you than, you know, because who you love, that's just who you choose to love. That's just a portion of who you are. There's so much other things about you that you should definitely, just as you are shining, you know, you're coming out and that you're shining that light, shine your other lights. There are other lights around you, you know, that's in you, that should definitely be, you know, publicized, just like, you know, you being gay. I feel like, you know, that's something that we drive because we want to be accepted. Accept yourself. Once you accept yourself, I'm telling you, everything else is going to fall into place. You being gay, that's just going to be just a minute portion of who you are. You know, something real small. You know, people not even going to really care about that once they see the bright, you know, the brightness about you. So just let your light shine, and not just your gay light. You know,
that's right.
Not just your gay light. Let all
that's
the light shine.
That's good.
You know,
accept
show
yourself.
People who you are. Accept yourself first before, you know, because you would never probably ever be accepted by the world. But if you can live in a world that don't accept you, but you accept yourself and you can still shine, I'm telling you, you're a different type of girl. You're a different type of girl.
That's right.
And that's what the world needs to see. It only takes one to change the world. So be
that one.
I dare you to be that one.
Yes, on that note, I'm so excited, Chris. I love this. I love that, being that light, right? That's how the world changes. It only takes one. Well, Miss Crystal Shields, I am so proud of you, and I am very honored that you would be here and share this story, share your story, and share your perspectives. And I'm really looking forward to what's next, you know, from you. So we have a desire to create a podcast. We're hoping to see that very soon. And
yes, definitely.
Okay.
I'm definitely looking to that. This is really exciting. This is really exciting. I'm grateful for you for allowing me to have this platform to just speak. And that's all I wanted. I just want to inform. Inform parents. I want to inform kids just that we are here. And, you know, and we do live this life and we do have feelings. We do, you know, we hurt. We do everything that what they say straight people do. We the same, you know.
That's right. So that's right. That's right. Well, thank you, Miss Crystal Shields. Absolutely. I'm so excited for our listeners to
thank you. Thank you for this. I really appreciate this. I really do.
Coming out at 25. Growing up being everything that everybody else wanted. Living two different lives to please them. On the Mississippi Bridge, ready to jump. God was the only person that gave me hope. And to know someone is to understand them. And in turn, show them love. Every time I listen to this podcast, I am moved in so many ways. The epitome of love, right, is the foundation of Christianity. And I just hope that whoever is listening to this walks away with a renewed way of thinking about God's love for all of us. Chris said that God was the only person that gave me hope. I just recited quotes that Chris said throughout this interview, this conversation. And I hope that you are able to feel through those pauses, through those moments, where both Chris and I were trying to collect our thoughts and our words to present to you an authentic experience. Again, I cannot applaud Crystal Shields for her bravery to do this. And I hope that if you have someone in your family that is a member of the LGBTQ A+ community, that you are walking away with a renewed sense of compassion, respect, and love. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the From Girls to Women podcast and click any alerts that will allow you to get notification when a new episode is posted, which is the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate your support. And mostly, thank you for listening to these voices that are often so censored. That would be the voices of young Black females. We're here from Girls to Women podcast. We elevate those voices and we celebrate them. Peace and blessings. This is your host, Dr. Marquita Cherie Dorsey.